What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One on a Widow Wednesday, Gary Widow.
You're coming in hot there. I had to immediately adjust my headphone volume because you came in. I was too loud or you were. Maybe a bit of both, but I've adjusted.
I mean, it's probably a bit of both, Gary. It's probably
what happened to your eye? You got a bloodshot eye.
Yeah, you know, I have this reoccurring blowout eye thing. It's not even bloodshot. I blow blood vessels in my eyes.
Like, it just happens?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it. No.
Trust me, I don't like it either. It's something that's happened to me if long time. Actually, you know what, too? Help me out, because I'm trying to put together. Everyone watching live and everyone watching later, help me out. I'm going to the eye doctor today, and I'm sure it will be the first of many visits for this problem again. How many times has this happened to me? Because I have, on my own record, four occurrences that I have photos of. The first time it ever happened was with Destiny 2. I remember I played too much Destiny 2, blew out my eye, blew the blood vessel. Because it's not bloodshot, I popped a blood vessel in my
eye. Right.
And so it's eye strain. I remember there was Destiny 2. There was right before EA Play 2020. Then this one you probably wouldn't have known about because it was when I was off with the baby. I got new glasses from Warby Parker. They popped my eyes. Then I went to the eye doctor and got these glasses to get them fixed. And then this popped here. So that's four I can think of, which is not a good amount.
Are you sure it's not snakes coming at night?
You know what? It could be snakes coming to get me at night. Yeah. It's I believe it's eye strain. I'm going back to the eye doctor today, but I have comprehensive notes. You know, we'll figure out what's going on. But it's quite annoying, Gary. It's quite annoying.
Does it actually affect your vision, or is it uncomfortable, or is it just a cosmetic thing?
Usually they're just cosmetic. This one's been messing with my vision a bit more than I would like. So that's one of the reasons we're off to the doctor to see what.
Yeah, seriously, get that looked at.
Yeah, well, because the other three, though, keep in mind. Maybe not. Yeah, no, the other three have all gone to doctors, too, where they tell you, oh, well, you blew a blood vessel in your eye. It happens all the time. No big deal. And granted, I remember this girl in high school did it when she puked too hard. Like, I understand. Jeez, like, I understand that these things happen. Like, I sneeze really hard. Once I put with EA play time, I popped my eye doing that. But something's going on here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, Denny Blanco in the chat asks, is it from pushing Pete?
It could be from pushing Pete. Wow, that's a hot off the presses PS I love you XOXO reference right now. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll figure out what's going on. But yeah, it's mainly fine. It's just annoying, Gary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can imagine. Absolutely.
And it's also that I'm looking at screens all day long. My job is to look at screens all day long. I'm trying to review freaking Dying Light 2 right now. I don't need to be worried about it. Am I looking at the screen too long? Annoying, Gary. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. You know, keeping busy. Got a lot of things on the boil. I got about like three different deadlines right now that I'm juggling. But, you know, better than the alternative.
And on top of that, you just launched an extremely popular free word game.
Yeah, we're doing quite well. Remember when I was on the show with you last week? I don't think it even launched yet. I think it was
you announced it here. We had the exclusive.
Last week, I think I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to launch it. And now we are launched. And hold on, let me just...
Here we go. Loodles being played right now.
No, I'm going to check my analytics, my Google analytics.
Well, Barrett's playing right now in front of you.
Current users, 572,000 active users. It's not bad.
Not bad at all. Not too bad at all there for this. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you did this. This is the thing, you know, a long time ago, Gary Wood, on this very show, Kinda Funny Games Daily, you said if you're not making moves, you're standing still. And I've seen you go on every day since then and continue to make moves, whether it's making movies, making comics with me, making games here, making Animal Talking. You get headlines.
The only thing I'm not doing is making any fucking money.
Well, you know, I feel like that comes later. I feel like as you establish yourself as an internet icon.
Because you know what else I say, Greg? If you ain't getting paid, you're getting played.
Yeah.
You're getting paid right now. I'm fulfilling one of my maxims, but not the other.
Have you talked to the guy who made Wordle yet?
No, I doubt he even knows we exist.
Oh, I bet that's not true. I bet he knows.
No, I mean, he hasn't reached out to me, and you know, we're doing our own thing. We're in our little.
I don't mean anything like reaching out. Like he's going to say, "Hey, pat on the back." When he goes, "You exist."
Different corners of the universe. There's a lot of knockoffs, you know, out there. I don't know why
you're the best one though.
We're the best
Andy
one.
Richter,
certainly the one that's gotten the most attention, other than the guy the other week that tried to do the monetized app and got slammed for it. Yeah.
So Andy, because it's that thing Andy Richter tweeted about you, and then some British guy everybody cares about.
Andy Richter, Angela White, who I'm told is quite well known in certain circles.
Not here.
Yeah. You keep feigning ignorance all you want, Greg.
No, for real, I don't know who's Angela White. I don't know who that is.
She's a very famous adult film performer. Okay.
I was making fun of the guy, the narrator guy.
Stephen Fry?
Stephen Fry. That Stephen was the reference. Fry, I know.
That's how you're gonna reference Stephen
Little
Fry.
Big Planet. Little Big Planet.
From Little Big Planet, yeah, because that's what he's known for.
That's what he's known for, Greg.
I'm not British, Barrett. I don't know what he's narrating over there. A Cadbury egg commercial. I'm not sure.
And try it for the insult comic dog. That was another good one.
Oh, did he? I didn't see Triumph. Yeah. That's really good. Liked him a lot.
Are you ready to talk about we're doing good. We're doing. You know, remains to be seen where the ceiling is. I think we're going to top out at some. It's got a. You know, the explosive growth that we've seen over the past few days. It's not. I don't believe it's sustainable. It'll cap out. The thing was never built to last anyway. It was meant to be just kind of like a quick joke and then move on to the next thing. But we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let's see what's happening in the world of video games. We're going to talk about Respawn being all in on Star Wars, PlayStation backwards compatibility being closer than ever, and what video game movie is The Rock teasing? We'll talk about all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. On patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. There are multiple free ways to support the show. Number one, you could use the creator code kindoffunny on the Epic Games Store. You might say, I don't use the Epic Games Store. Well, do you play Fortnite? Well, do you play Rocket League? You can use the creator code kindoffunny there too to earn us a couple bucks on all your transactions. If that wasn't enough, you could watch us record Kinda Funny Games Daily live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like many-faced Steph is. One last word is in Unsug Spartan R. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you, there's a new PS I Love You XOXO up. It is all about how PlayStation should or shouldn't respond to Xbox's purchase of Activision Blizzard. You can get it right now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Me, Blessing, and Janet chatting it up alongside Barrett Courtney, CEO Jr. If that wasn't enough, if you didn't know, Kinda Funny Games is on TikTok. You can go to tiktok.com/@kindoffunnygames. It is fucking fire lately. They've been doing such a great job. This is Roger's initiative, hired a bunch of editors, got a whole bunch of people doing stuff. The Mewtwo one they put up today is excellent. Of course it's me, but it's just I learned from Kevin Smith that you can be a fan of yourself and be the biggest fan of yourself, so there's no bigger Greg Miller fan than Greg Miller, so I crack up looking at myself.
I'm just saying, 200 followers away from saving Roger's toes.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't get to 10,000 followers, we get to eat Roger's toes. We'll each have one. If that was enough, remember to play Loodle, Gary's Wordle game. You can get it on your web browser by searching Loodle game. You'll get it that way. And then thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Blackjack, and Pranksky. Today, we're brought to you by Purple Mattress and Babbel, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, out of the blue, EA is talking about Star Wars and the moves they're making over there. We will read from the official release where I've cut out all the bullshit quotes that don't say anything. Electronic Arts Incorporated and Lucasfilm Games are joining forces to continue delivering all new world-class gaming experiences set within the beloved Star Wars galaxy. Respawn Entertainment, best known for their work on Apex Legends, Titanfall, and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, is leading the development and production of these new projects. Vince Zampella, Group GM and founder of Respawn, will oversee this new phase of EA's relationship with Lucasfilm, building on Respawn's award-winning history in game development and expertise in telling compelling Star Wars stories. Game director Stig Asmussen and his team at the studio are already working on the next game in the action-adventure Star Wars Jedi series and are joined by two new teams working to deliver additional unique Star Wars gameplay experiences across multiple genres. Leading the development of Respawn's all-new Star Wars first-person shooter game is Pete Heischman, game director at Respawn, who has a long and accomplished history with the Star Wars franchise. The third title is a Star Wars strategy game developed through a production collaboration with the newly formed studio Bit Reactor. Respawn will produce the new Star Wars strategy game while Bit Reactor leads on the development of the title. Work has already begun on all three of these projects, and Respawn is looking for talent to join the teams. Additional information can be found, you know, Respawn Careers. That's the news that broke this morning. Gary Whitta. Jeffy Grubgrub, of course, from GamesBeat, then put out this tweet. Today's announcement was a fun way of saying they are not going to do Battlefront 3, which is a fun chuckle. And of course, a wrinkle of, yeah, wait a second, DICE was involved with all of this too. Before we tackle any of that, Gary, Respawn, three different games here for Star Wars. How do you feel?
Yeah, good news for Star Wars gaming fans, right? This is all good stuff. Respawn, obviously, were very, very successful with Fallen Order, you know, huge creative and commercial success. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that there's, I think we all knew that there was a sequel in development, that now, you know, today just come kind of the official confirmation. And two other games as well, which I think are quite interesting. A first person game, we haven't seen that since the great old days of, you know, Dark Forces and the Jedi Knight games in the 90s, right? I mean, we love those.
Well, no, I mean, this is a first person shooter, so Battlefront was first person shooter, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm thinking more like strictly kind of narrative.
Sure.
Folk, I'm like my old ass, you know, PC gamer in the 90s guy went straight by. When you say first person shooter, I don't think Battlefront, you know, where there wasn't even a narrative, and then Battlefront 2, they kind of bolted one on, but it was still obviously meant to be a multiplayer game. I go, for me, when you say first person shooter, my brain goes straight to Dark Forces. It goes straight to Jedi Knight, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Academy.
Sure.
Those were the great ones.
Before the year wrongs even get there, there is a conversation. Wasn't it third person? You could swap between first and third in Battlefront.
And then the third one being, you know, a potentially interesting strategy game from the teams. I guess some of the developers that worked on XCOM. So maybe there's a sense of like what you might be looking at there. Yep. Maybe something kind of turn-based tactical squad combat, whatever. That could be really interesting. Yeah, it's, you know, good times for Star Wars gamers. Hopefully EA will, you know, it looks like EA is determined to kind of wring the last, you know, a little bit of value out of their 10-year deal, which I think is up next. I think their deal is up next year, 2023. I think their 10-year deal expires. So they're trying to get as much out of this as they can. Who knows if Lucasfilm or Disney will be inclined to re-up their deal with EA. It's been, you know, kind of a mixed bag at best. We all remember the embarrassment of Battlefront 2, but the fact that these are all coming from Respawn, or at least Respawn affiliated companies, the strategy game is kind of a different developer, but Respawn is producing, is really encouraging. Respawn is kind of still one of the developers that's still yet to kind of put a foot wrong, right? Like everything that Respawn does, whether it be Apex Legends or Titanfall or Fallen Order, I mean, it's all really good stuff. I actually need to try and get a job on one of these games. I need to finish my Star Wars EGOT. Video games is like the one thing I haven't done yet, so I got to see if I can get
standing out. Right, you've done obviously a movie, which is the time thing. You've done a book.
My weird humble brag was not even humble, but my weird brag is that I'm the only writer who has written Star Wars for books, television, films, and comics. And then the one box that I haven't checked is actually the one that you think I would have by now. Is video games. I actually was supposed to work on one of the video games that has already come and got. It's already been out there for a while, but the scheduling didn't work out. So I got to try to get in on one of these next ones.
What was it going to be?
I can't say that.
Why not? You didn't get it. Who cares?
You know, it's just professional courtesy.
Just saying. Greg, I mean, right now you're stumping for a job, right?
Stop, Greg.
Hold on. Right now I'm trying to do something else. I'm trying to get Gary a job here. All right. We're gonna get a campaign going, Gary.
You see that ends up being counterproductive. Then it looks like you're trying too hard.
The trees out of the station. Yeah, Gary a job. This man's been working for free, ladies and gentlemen. And think of it this way: as you play Loodle, as you steal the pennies out of Gary Whitta's pockets. All right, as you steal, he just had a child last year. All right, and you're over there playing the Loodles. You're over there taking all the money from Gary right there. You know what I mean? It's, you know, they're so poor over there right now. His newborn has to eat his wife's breast milk. You know what I mean? You can't even afford a meal for this kid.
It's hard like times. I didn't make a penny on Animal Talking. Didn't make a penny on Loodle. You know, I need to start prioritizing. I barely make any money doing this. You know, I got to start prioritizing. I got to get more mercenary. I got to start getting more like, you know, pay me, monetization. And maybe I should get into NFTs. What do you think about that?
Ooh, No, Gary. No, we take it back. You're doing fine. Royalty checks from stars are coming fine. Whoa, let's not get crazy.
Get into some crypto
plays. Let's not get crazy, Gary. All right? That's when you're like, you know what? I'm ready to salt the fucking earth, make the quick buck and be gone. That's when you hit that button.
I hear they're very popular.
No, Gary, you've heard it's the opposite. No,
oh, really?
It's the opposite.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
They're career poison. Don't touch them.
I heard that if you were announced that you're working on NFTs, everyone immediately goes, oh, that's cool. Like, having
No, you heard wrong. Okay. That's bad information. Right. Someone's giving you that information.
All right.
Will Smith. Sounds like something Will Smith would say to you. That's not like, oh, that's bad. Don't do that. That's. Yeah, this is, you know, Boss Baby, a.k.a. CEO Junior. You're one of the, probably the biggest Star Wars fan I know. How are you feeling about this? Respawn, of course. We love to Fallen Order. How are you feeling about them getting three games here?
When it first broke, I thought this was just like a weird reconfirmation that they were working on a Jedi Fallen Order sequel. And I was like, I thought we knew that. And then, yeah, of course, reading in and seeing that they're working on another game and, you know, helping out and producing another. I'm excited. You know, I think what they did with Jedi Fallen Order, they really showed off, like, they understand what Star Wars should be to its core when it comes to storytelling and a hero's journey and et cetera, so on and so forth. So I'm excited to see what they have to do, of course, with the Jedi series. I'm looking forward to the most to continue, like, Cal's story and see where he goes with the crew after the first game. And then, yeah, I'm interested to see where this FPS, like, lands. If this is something that, you know, is... If we get something like a Titanfall 2, like, super dope first-person shooter campaign.
Yeah.
Or if it's a little more multiplayer-focused. I'm interested to see what they end up doing with that.
My thought there would be that it's not going to be... there'll probably be a multiplayer mode because it's a first-person shooter, but I think you're going to get a campaign. Because I think the fact that you don't call it Response All New Star Wars Multiplayer Shooter... Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I know first-person shooter can be a multiplayer shooter, but I feel like that's cart before the horse if you didn't say that. I think the fact they're saying first-person shooter game makes me immediately think of a Doom, makes me think of any of the other games that we've talked to, a Titanfall 2 campaign of what you're going through.
And I would love to see them expand on, like, honestly, like, the idea that Battlefront 2 had, you know? Like, you're an elite stormtrooper. Like, just I think that's such a cool, interesting idea for, like, the premise of a video game. I would love to see if they could do something similar to that. As far as, like, their... contract goes, it's up next year, and we already know that, you know, they're not going to renew that the exclusivity deal with them, because, you know, there's already so many other developers that are working on Star Wars games. Ubisoft, I think, is
That got weird, right? Where it was like, I don't know if they've confirmed they won't do the exclusivity thing, but it is the fact that, you have seen that start breaking down where other developers...
It's funny, just over the years, Star Wars has really been feast or famine, you know? There was obviously the original movies, and then nothing for a long time, and through the late 80s and the early 90s, all we really had, like, the video games and books and comics got us through. And then obviously the prequels came... and there was a bunch of, you know, video games and associated stuff with that. And then it kind of went quiet again. And then Disney came in. And now there's more Star Wars being pumped into the channel than ever. You know, obviously, they kind of press pause on the movies for a little bit. But there's all these TV shows, more TV shows coming. And really, like, tons and tons of video games. You think about all these Respawn titles, plus the big Ubisoft one you just mentioned, plus the Quantic Dream one, plus the KOTOR remaster. Woo! It's like, you know, more Star Wars games coming than ever. It's just a lot of stuff.
Now, where would you go, Barrett, with, out of all the things Gary just listed, what is your most anticipated Star Wars game?
Of the things that we know?
Yeah. Any of the rumored ones, too, I guess, if you want.
The Jedi Fallen Order sequel, for sure.
100%. That's the right answer. Yeah. I can't wait for that. Remember, Jeffy Grubb said earlier this year or late last year, I forget, that that game's closer than we think it is and that we'd see.
That's the one where if you said to me, like, right now we can show you a lot more of it, I'd want to see the least, because I feel like I can guess at least, like, what that's roughly going to look like.
That's why I'm excited. I love the first one so much. I feel like you take the advice.
That's like, I don't know anything. Like, show me, like, I know.
I'd be more interested to see, like, you know, trailers for other games, but, like, I'm more excited overall for, you know, the sequel to Cal and Co's story, right? And yeah, I'm excited to see like what like gameplay design improvements that they make and stuff like that. You know, one of the
readable map.
You know, an easier way to maybe get like a 100% map trophy, stuff like that. And so yeah, that's what I'm most excited for. And you know, I talked about this when I did my whole like Star Wars current canon lore like rewatch of like everything from video games, movies, TV shows, comics, books, like a year or two ago. Like Jedi Fallen Order is in the top three of all things, just Hell pure yeah. story wise. I think it's incredible. So yeah,
Gary, for you, where's the shakeout? And I would, because right behind it for me, right, I'm right there with you. Fallen Order 2, that's what I want. But right behind it would be the KOTOR remake. Gary, what about you? Where are you?
Probably for me also the KOTOR remake, just because I have so many fond
amazing memories,
nostalgic memories. That was probably the game I played most on the original Xbox. I remember being up until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning playing it, and just being, that was like really my first introduction to like the world of BioWare and the kind of games they are capable of making. And it was my, you know, my gateway drug into, you know, Mass Effect that would come later. And yeah, it's, even though that in itself again is also, that one's also again kind of a known quantity because it's a remake, but like it's also really unknown in terms of, well, what are they going to change? Is it going to be exactly, you know, like the whole game is predicated on this massive twist, right? So do they keep that, knowing that, you know, everyone that's going in and replaying it kind of already knows what that is, or do they change that up?
Who I mean, knows? You say that, but like, do you think people do necessarily? I mean, like, granted, I know it's so hard to avoid spoilers when you're getting closer and closer and closer to it, but I feel like there's so many games we've seen come out recently that are remakes or remasters or something that you, how many people knew the story of Mass Effect? And granted, I guess Mass Effect's a harder
choice
to put into it at one point, but I still feel like you get
there.
It's just
this, you know, the whole like promise of remasters, like you loved this game, but it hasn't aged well. Here's what it would look like if we made it today with everything we've learned between now and then. Like, here's the ultimate kind of dream version of it. That's exciting. I want to see it.
And maybe, you know, I wonder how much they will change too. Because, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a remake. You can go in there and tease a few things. In the live chat, Raj Forma went through and said he's never played KOTOR and doesn't know the twist. So I...
Oh, yeah. So even saying that there's a twist is actually...
I just sent it to him on Slack.
Yeah,
so
when he looks at it... Spoilers. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
I've never finished it, but I do know the twists.
He just laughed at my spoiler, so everything's fine for him. The question this does leave, though, let's now go to Jeffy Grubgrub again, who said, today's announcement is a fun way of saying they aren't going to make a Battlefront 3. Ryan T. from Tennessee writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. And I thought it was interesting that Ryan T. from Tennessee misspelled Tennessee. Interesting. Ryan T. from Tennessee with one E says, hey, Greg and Gary. With the announcement that Respawn is developing a new Star Wars first-person shooter and leading a third-party developer on a Star Wars strategy game, what do you think this means for DICE and EA's future? Has DICE lost the lead studio role, or do you think they're in deeper trouble than this? For me, it's hard to ignore that fewer EA games are using / advertising Frostbite. DICE is overseeing fewer titles, and now the major responsibility of Star Wars has been handed over. Long question already, but do you think there's anything EA... I'm assuming can do so that Respawn doesn't repeat some of the same mistakes they seemingly take the reins. Thanks, Ryan T. from Tennessee. It's a great question, Ryan. I think the writing's been on the wall for a while for DICE, though, in terms of a fall from grace and not being in it, maybe not even a fall from grace, but not being in the best of company, not being the star student anymore. Frostbite, we've heard for years, is incredibly hard to work on. They try to do it forever, and you've seen more and more games peel off and not have to do that. When you go into like what's been happening, remember, of course, Vincent Zampella, of course, we're talking about from Respawn, right? He recently got added to the DICE portfolio that and I'm reading from Cat Bailey IGN, recently got added to DICE to who recently added DICE to a portfolio that already includes Respawn and Ripple Effect Studios. Like, there's already been a shakeup with what DICE is and what that is going forward. And I would think taking your foot off the gas as you juggle that studio and see what they want to work on, where they should go, who's sticking around, and also figuring out where things did go wrong, right? Like, the Battlefront games got to a good spot, but obviously we're tied up in being the poster child for why loot boxes shouldn't be in games and why pay to win shouldn't be in a game and watching EA make transgressions, right? Like, they atoned for that and they got that game to a good place. And obviously there were some good re-reviews, including David's from IGN. But I think now you have to let them chill out, recenter themselves and get back to what they want to do, let alone whatever Vince is doing now at the top. And I think, again, this just speaks to this move today of three games at Respawn, just speaks to, hey, we really trust Respawn and we really trust Vince Zampella. Gary, does that sound like the right read to you?
Yeah, I mean, the whole history of the Star Wars Battlefront games under this, you know, under the Disney era, I think, you know, it's been a real roller coaster, right? The first game, I think what happened was when Disney and EA first made that deal, they were a little bit, EA were immediately a little bit behind the eight ball, and they were expected to put a game out, expected to put a game out to coincide with, you know, the Force Awakens, and so they had to rush. And they were like, well, what can we do quickly? Well, we know how to make Battlefront games. Let's just like slap Star Wars on that. So they did that. They didn't have time to put out a narrative campaign, which I thought was a huge mistake. I think when you put out the first game as part of a 10-year deal, you know, licensed off of a franchise that is all about storytelling, all about narrative, heavily, you know, steeped in the power of myth, and then you shit out a game that doesn't have any story at all, but just dumps you into these context-free, narrative-free play sets and has you running around shooting at each other. I thought that was a very bad look. And then on this, and they got hit for that. The second one, I thought they corrected that quite well. They put the, you know, what I thought was a pretty good story in there, pretty good narrative campaign. But then they shit the bed with, you know, all the predatory microtransactions, and that ended up being deeply embarrassing. You remember, Greg, when you and I used to sit at the desk together, how deeply embarrassing that was, and we would go on all those rants about microtransactions, and Disney had to get involved, and they had to scramble and fix all of that stuff. Then they got Battlefront 2, by all accounts. I never really played it, but they got it to a good place. And then, but I don't know if you've been following this, but just recently it sounds like it's actually kind of gone off the boil again. Like they pushed the last major content update for it. There's no more support or anything. It's really just kind of like sitting there. Last I heard, the game's actually got a lot of problems, players being able to running around, not being able to damage each other, and bugs and stuff that are not being addressed. And, you know, it's a bit of a mess. I don't think too many, there's obviously a hardcore as there is for every game, but I don't think too many people are going to be mourning the loss of the Star Wars Battlefront franchise, and are probably more excited about moving on to bigger and better things with Respawn.
Just what do you got here, Barrett? You're bringing something up with
me. Just Steam reviews, recent, very mixed, and then all reviews very positive, which is crazy to think about when you think about the legacy of this recent Battlefront 2, right? Of like how poorly it launched, and then like Gary was saying, like how much they brought it back and was able to retain that like multiplayer base, and were to the point where like a lot of people on my timeline who are big Star Wars nerds were like playing it a lot. With the most recent
Not to mention
stuff.
Too, like keep in mind, like we're talking about the Star Wars section of this, and DICE, obviously Battlefield 2042 has happened since then, and it's a complete dumpster fire. You know what I mean? Like I was doing the Metacritic search just to make sure I had my head screwed on straight. Yeah, all versions are hovering in the low to mid 60s. Mm-hmm. Like terrible for what they wanted that game to be, and
if,
try to come out.
If
and
you
make
want
it
Battlefront
compete.
To stay alive, just port the original games to everywhere, please.
I think it's one of those where, number one, and I know I'm short-sighted. This is why I don't make video games. And I'm also, this isn't my franchise, Star Wars, so, you know, I enjoy it. But number one, I would think with Battlefront 1 and Battlefront 2, is there a lot of new ground left to tread there to go out there and, like, make it? Because they did a whole bunch of cool shit. I'm sorry, let you go. There's that thing of, like, you know, do they need to retread it? But then also, like, what is, right now, you know, when Battlefront got announced, it was such a big deal that it was coming back. And I'm not saying they sullied it or ruined the legacy or yada yada, because everything that from the past that we loved is on a pedestal and you can never really touch it again. Be weird for KOTOR. But now if you let that chill and you bring it back with maybe a Respawn eventually, with maybe somebody else, or maybe a different DICE who is like, here's what we learned and why it's going to be different. I think you let that cook for a few years. People don't have a great taste in their mouth for Battlefront right now. Let's move away. Gary, back to you. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think like DICE in general are probably feeling a bit exhausted with all of this. You know, Battlefront 2 again was a real roller coaster. Who knows what's going to happen to the future of Battlefield? 2042 has been a disaster. So I don't know what the future is for kind of DICE and, you know, first person multiplayer shooters. For me, if it was up to me, it may not be like the most commercially attractive choice because all the money's in Warzone and selling guns and stickers and decals and stuff. But I would just go back to narrative. That's always been the strength of Star Wars. One idea off the top of my head is like take the fucking Bad Batch and make a Bad Company style game with those guys. You know, like those two things seem like they would go together.
I mean,
really
Paris
well.
And I have been saying Bad Batch Republic Commando for two years at this point, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, if Paris says it, it's got to be true.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll keep you posted as we continue to see your respawn work on the Star Wars game and find out what happens for DICE next. But for now, let's move on to number two on the Roper Report. For number two, we go to VGC, where Chris Scullion reports all PS4 trophies were briefly wiped and labeled PS3 overnight. An issue with the PlayStation Network caused PlayStation 4 trophies to temporarily disappear overnight, with their titles appearing as PS3 games instead. All PlayStation 4 titles were showing as 0% completion, with no title shown and only a PS3 logo where the PS4 ones should be. This led to speculation on social media that the issue could be part of an upcoming backwards compatibility update for the PlayStation 5. The incident was also the latest spark. The incident was the latest to spark discussion over the possibility of PS3 games appearing on the PS5 at some point in the near future. PlayStation 3 games also started appearing on the PlayStation 5 store last week, amidst suggestions that Sony could unveil further backwards compatibility to support the console. When viewing a PS3 game on the PS5 store, the listing should direct the player towards PlayStation Now's version of the game. However, Dead or Alive 5 displayed a price. Other users on social media reported seeing similar listings for PS3's Bejeweled and Prince of Persia games, The Forgotten Sands and The Two Thrones. The listings appeared following the discovery of a patent filed by PS5 system architect Mark Cerny titled Backwards Compatibility Through the Use of Spoof Clock and Fine Grain Frequency Control. This naturally led many to speculate that Sony has finally developed a solution for older titles that could soon expand PS5's backwards compatibility support, although this has not been confirmed. It also arrives following a Bloomberg report in December, which claimed that an Xbox Game Pass competitor service is being prepared by PlayStation. According to documents seen by the publication, the new service is codenamed Spartacus and will combine the current PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now services, phasing out the branding of the latter. It's expected to launch for PS4 and PS5 this spring and to be structured across three payment tiers. Gary Whitta.
Yeah.
Is backwards compatibility coming to PlayStation 5? Are we about to play PS3 games on the PlayStation 5?
Maybe. I don't really care, though. Do you want to talk about this Blizzard story that broke while we were on the air? Blizzard announcing a new game?
Yeah, yeah. I think I fall into the camp of Imran Khan. Here's what we'll do. I agree with you. This is the thing here. I think backwards compatibility is coming via Project Spartacus. I think that it'll be interesting to see how they do it. Obviously, PS3 trophies popping, if you're new around here, isn't a big deal because obviously PS3 games had trophies, so it would just be bringing them in. It's a weird glitch with the PlayStation 4 business.
And even if you play them on PS Now, they would still show up in your trophy list under PS3 and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that.
So what does this all mean? Grain of salt kind of thing. I do think that Spartacus is going to do this. I am excited to see what Spartacus could be, but I feel like on PS I Love You and this show, we've kind of talked Spartacus as a rumor to death. So yeah, Gary, you don't care. Everybody knows
I don't care much. I do think that I'm excited about the idea of Sony going to a Game Pass type service. And I think, you know, if they're going to take leaves out of Microsoft's book, you know, Microsoft's done great, great work with backwards compatibility. I still enjoy playing SSX3, which was, you know, an original Xbox title on my Xbox Series X. They did a beautiful job remastering it. And I think PlayStation 3, you know, even though it was kind of a duff, you know, it wasn't Sony's best generation out of the five that they've had so far. There's a bunch of great games on PlayStation 3 that, you know, are worth revisiting or discovering for the first time. And if there's a way for Sony to make those available digitally at a reasonable price, I'm all for it.
Yeah, this is, of course, fixing like a thing you can't believe that the PlayStation 5 doesn't have this backwards compatibility, especially when you look at the competition that is Xbox and how they have been able to fucking crush this and, you know, make it so easy to play everything and make them play better than before. I really do hope that they've solved this.
With the frame rate boost stuff that they're doing. Microsoft's been making a lot of really good moves in the backward compatibility world. And it is an area where I think Sony would do well to catch up. And so if it's part of their Spartacus effort, I applaud that.
I applaud the fact that you called that out. I'm glad to see you have your eyes on the prize. There is a breaking story from Blizzard, ladies and gentlemen, but we'll get to that after I tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free, and you can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. However, you're not watching on Patreon right now, Jack, so here's a word about our sponsors. When it comes to getting a good night's sleep, there's only one thing you need. A good mattress. Forget all those gimmicks like mattress toppers and weighted blankets. If your mattress is terrible, your sleep is going to be terrible. So get the only thing you truly need, a Purple mattress. Only Purple mattresses have the Gel Flex Grid. It's a super stretchy, ultra squishy material that adapts and flexes around pressure points and doesn't retain heat. How do I know? Well, I talked to a young man named Timothy Geddes, and Timothy swears by the Purple pillow. Then, on top of that, he used to have a roommate named Joey Noel who swore by her Purple mattress. That's right. Kind of funny sleeping all over this purple stuff and loving every minute of it. Getting a great night's sleep starts with having a great mattress. Get a Purple mattress. Go to purple.com/kindoffunny and use the code kindoffunny. For a limited time, you can get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/kindoffunny. Code kindoffunny for 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/kindoffunny. Promo code kindoffunny. Terms apply. There are a ton of worthwhile goals to set for yourself this year, and personally, learning a new language with Babbel is at the top of my list. Babbel is the addictively fun, fast, and easy language learning app that has sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Greg, and as you know, I'm in love with a French-Canadian named Geneviève Saint-Ange. And Jen, of course, first language is French. She learned English later on, and I've been trying to learn French, but I keep falling off. I've got Babbel on my phone. I'm ready to do it in 2022. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. You can choose from 14 different languages like Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. I could probably use that for English. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of three. Just go to Babbel.com and use the promo code kindoffunny, all one word. That's Babbel.com, code kindoffunny. Babbel, language for life. Man, you look back at that old footage and I had two working eyes. Felt great. Looks great. Didn't even know. You don't know how good you have it until one of your eyes explodes. The breaking news, Gary, reads like this. There has been a tweet over on the internet from the one and the only Blizzard Entertainment that says, "We're building a survival game in an all-new universe. Join us in writing our next chapter," and then it links to the following. Blizzard is embarking on our next quest. We are going on a journey to a whole new universe, home to a brand new survival game for PC and console. A place full of heroes we have yet to meet, stories yet to be told, and adventures yet to be lived. A vast realm of possibility waiting to be explored. Every story needs a teller, and every world needs builders. What if that could be you? For 30 years, Blizzard has been creating universes for millions of players around the globe. This requires a diverse team of developers willing to lend their voices to listen and to be heard. That is our mission. Do you like survival games? Do you want to join a collaborative team of experienced developers at the early stage of a new project in a new world? And help write the next chapter of Blizzard's history. This is your call to adventure. Will you answer it?
My favorite is that it's called Unannounced Survival Game. And people
we are announcing a video game. It's called Unannounced Survival
Game. And everybody is like, but you just announced it. It's announced.
You know? Gary, what I need to know is, are you clicking on the link to put in your application?
No, I did. I did already. I dropped a tweet to the guy that's doing the head of the studio that's doing the Star Wars strategy game. Okay. And he said, and he just sent back a generic thing going, oh, the link for the job posting will be put up in a few hours. So, you know, I guess.
Wait a second. You told me not to actually go out there and stuff.
No, I responded. I didn't like make a tweet. I just responded to the guy on Twitter saying, do you need any writers? And he just wrote back, the job posting for writers will be up in a few hours.
This is the problem with these PC dorks over there. You know what I mean? They don't know who they're talking to. They don't know they're talking
to. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just telling you what he said. Where were we? On the Blizzard thing. So, look, I love Blizzard, even though, you know, they've taken their lumps in all kinds of ways over the last few years. Still one of the great gaming companies. They brought us some of the best, things in gaming, whether it be Diablo, StarCraft, Warcraft, you know, Overwatch. They make so much good stuff. And I believe that they can be that company again. And, you know, it's very rare for them to announce something totally new. I mean, what the last thing was, Overwatch, right? They're not announcing like new things all the time. So when they do, it's immediately kind of headline grabbing news, especially in a different genre for them. Survival is something they haven't really done before.
Sure.
And so let me ask you this. I don't know if this is like, unrealistic, but like this news comes what, like a week or so after
literally a week, the
acquisition. Is it too soon to think that this is the first evidence of the shackles coming off under the new management?
I definitely think that's too soon. I mean, you know how you are, like for them to green lit this. It's not like you know better than me too. They would have been.
I don't know.
They would have been in pre-production on this game for a while.
Part of the problem that Blizzard has had, you know, reportedly, is that, you know, under the Activision ownership, they've been very kind of boxed in terms of just keep doing the same shit that you do. That makes money. We don't want to do anything, you know, too outside of the box or whatever. But then, you know, they're acquired by a new company, and then they very soon after that do something that they hardly ever do, which is announce a totally new type of game. Sure. So the person in the chat said, Gary thinks they started making this game 10 hours ago. Go fuck yourself. Obviously, they've been making the game for a long time. The point is they're now the point is that in the past week, they could have been authorized to move forward with it. Chat is how fucking stupid is your chat sometimes, Greg? Before you fucking press send, you can save yourself so much grief.
Anyways, I still think they wouldn't be able to, because you figure, like, you know, it's not like Xbox can tell them or approve or do anything for it, right? That's not how it works. So I think they have to go business as usual independently, and I think they were already getting close to this.
That's why I said it probably is just a coincidence. I'm asking the question because it is very coincidental, isn't it? Like, those two big things to do with Blizzard happened in a very short time frame, acquired by Microsoft, and then they announced a new game. And it is entirely possible it's purely coincidence.
I find it interesting, of course, home to a brand new survival game for PC and console. Just one console there, and it's going to be Xbox. This is definitely this is the exact kind of thing you would do that you wouldn't put on PlayStation, that you'd want, that Phil would want to keep just to Xbox Game Pass, just to Xbox exclusive. And I think that would be obviously another feather in their cap for Xbox moving forward.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. And it's clear that they said right out ahead, this is for PC and console. Don't forget, as we said last week on the show, Blizzard has historically always been a PC first company. Some of their titles have come to console, but, you know, many of their biggest have been exclusive on, you know, Warcraft, Starcraft, etc., have been only on PC. But I think one of the things that we talked about last week was that under Microsoft's management, you're going to see Blizzard pivot to being more of a console company,
for sure,
or a multi-platform company at least.
We shall wait and see. Blizzard doing stuff. Blizzard always in trouble. Blizzard bought by Xbox. Blizzard making a console game. This is breaking. We'll see. I you're not going to see anything soon on this, obviously, as they're still like looking for everyone to make it. But now it will be talked about at every BlizzCon going forward forever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Officially number 3 on the Roper Report, not technically number 4. Uncharted 4 and Uncharted Lost Legacy saves carry over. This is Eddie over at GameSpot. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection releases on PlayStation 5 this week, and Sony has now clarified a key detail about it, and it's good news. Your PS4 game saves for Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy will carry over to the new PlayStation 5 bundle along with your trophies. An FAQ confirms and explains how it works. Players need to select story, import game from PS4 from the main menu to import save data / trophies to PS5. So if you started Uncharted 4 or Lost Legacy and never finished, you can pick up right where you left off with the PS5 version. People who already own Uncharted 4, Lost Legacy, or the Lost Legacy Digital Bundle can upgrade to the Lost Legacy Digital version for $10 when it releases January 28th. Additionally, those who buy or upgrade to the Legacy of Thieves collection from the PlayStation Store will get a free ticket to see the Uncharted movie starring Tom Holland. This offer is good February 3rd, 2022. Until February 3rd, 2022. The movie arrives February 18th. A PC edition of the Legacy of Thieves collection is on its way as well, and Naughty Dog said it will have plenty of updates and quotes to share on the project soon. Another one, I don't know how much there is to talk about, Gary, other than number one, this is good news that it carries over. Number two, I love the fact you can just turn it on, pop your trophies again. That's another platinum for me now. Mm-hmm, Uncharted 4 again. Mm-hmm, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Never platinum, Lost Legacy. And then number three, again, like, just the ridiculousness of how PlayStation 5 has to do all this stuff. Story, import game to PS4. Like, you know what I mean? Import your save data. It's like, oh my God. Xbox, you just turn it on. There it is.
I know. Why does it have to be that difficult?
Because of how broken the back end is.
Yeah.
And they didn't plan for this, but people keep buying them.
Well, they didn't plan to do a PlayStation 5, you mean?
Huh?
They didn't plan to do a PlayStation 5?
I don't think they planned on having them talk to each other. That took them by surprise. Yeah, they thought PS4 was
Fuck, we're doing another one?
They listened to the IGN podcast I used to do during the PS3 era, where we were all like, oh, one more console generation, and then it's over. It's done. Consoles are dead. Oh. We were wrong, as always, but nobody remembers the past, so you can just say whatever you want, and then nobody holds you accountable.
I'm excited to play, because I loved Uncharted 4. I never played Lost Legacy, so this really? Is a great opportunity for me to play it. Yeah, and it's like,
are you nice actually going to get into it? Are you going to play it?
Sure, of course.
Okay, good. Well, you didn't play it the first time. Don't act like it's like a foregone conclusion.
You know, there's a lot of great games that I want to play, but I haven't had time to play. But this is a great opportunity to play it now, and you know, and it's all been spruced up, and looking forward to it.
Yep. Number four on the Roper Report, there might be some more union busting happening over at Raven. We go to Luke Plunkett over at Kotaku. It was only a few days ago that 34 quality assurance testers at Raven, one of the studios working exclusively on the Call of Duty series, formed the first ever union among Activision Blizzard employees. Today, management has responded to their success with some changes, breaking up the members of the union. As Polygon's Nicole Carpenter reports on Twitter, earlier today, Raven studio head Brian Raffel emailed all staff about an organizational change that takes the now organized QA team, who have only just returned to work, having been on strike for 7 weeks, and splits them up, spreading them across the rest of the workplace. I parsed down the letter to these two paragraphs. As we look ahead at the ongoing expansion of Call of Duty Warzone, it's more important than ever that we foster tighter integration and coordination across the studio. Embedding will allow just for this, because again, they're breaking up the QA team, embedding them in different teams throughout the thing. Embedding will allow for this. Firstly, our move to embed our QA teams has been carefully considered and is the next logical step in the plan process that began several months ago. Secondly, we're confident that the embedded model, which is the best practice used at other prominent development studios across Activision, will continue to better position our team to deliver best-in-class coordination in fast-moving live services operation. I look forward to the studio operating more creatively, effectively, and efficiently than ever before. I'm also excited that this change will create increased opportunities for our QA team members to further develop their skills and grow their careers at the studio. Back to the article here from Luke. The concept of embedded QA, where testers are integrated within the rest of a studio's workforce, as Raven is doing here, is not a new one and is increasingly common across major development studios. BioWare, for example, has been doing it for years. The timing here is certainly interesting, though. Like how these long-planned changes, months in the making, are kicking in for QA staff almost at the exact moment they've returned to work from the strike and will immediately break up the members of the union and scatter them across the studio. Now, of course, this could have been in the progress. As Luke points out, maybe this has been happening on the road for a while or whatever. Nicole Carpenter added this to her tweet thread that I pulled in here as context too. To be approved, unions have to prove, quote, community of interest, i.e. a group of workers with shared categorization, for lack of a better word. Sectioned off as holy QA made Raven's unit clear. This may complicate that. Have asked Activision for clarification, Nicole said at the time of reporting. Doesn't seem like it's something that, like, this, when you put that context on it, when you look at this whole, like, just fucking leave them alone. Like, you know what I mean? How many times do you have to step on the rake about this as Ravens and Activision and everybody else as you do this? Like, I don't know. It doesn't pass muster for me.
Until capitalism keeps going, baby.
Gary, I don't think it passes muster. I don't buy that. Oh, it's been coming a long time. So this is, and it just happened to happen after their 6 week strike. After they finally get back in the office.
Yeah, I don't know enough about how QA works to kind of, you know, speak intelligently or confidently on it.
I've definitely heard of this a bunch of different
times. I think it is fairly standard practice, and I think that it makes, again, as little as I know about kind of the inner workings of game development, it seems like it would make sense to have your Q&A people like integrated with the dev team rather than just like stuck over in a separate building, which, you know, is often the case, or at least has been. At the same time, you know, we were just talking about coincidence, right? And this could be a coincidence, but we have all been trained over the past several years to develop a very, very healthy, cynical attitude towards anything that comes out of Activision Blizzard these days. And yeah, the idea that, oh, we're going to, right at the point, like, unionization is all about strength in numbers, right, and collective action. So it's like, well, we're going to take your little collective and physically scatter it. I mean, obviously, I don't know how much that can really do. They can still organize online. They can still meet together. They're just not, you know, sitting in a, they're not together like all the time. But so I don't know. My suspicious radar is not like super high on this one, but to the degree that it is, it's purely because it's Activision and you just can't fucking trust anything they do these days.
Moondoggy 82 in the chat says, but if the employees are still Q&A, it doesn't matter where they are placed, they're still QA, so still in the union. Again, that sounds right. Here's the thing I'm saying. All I'm saying is this whole thing looks weird. And I'm saying, yes, you and me talking as human beings understand they're breaking up the QA team to put them in different things to make it work better. That makes sense. That's been there before. It just seems suspicious, as they are the first group to unionize, that you split them up. And then how many times the fucking EULA agreements we all signed, the TOS kind of shit, what Nicole Carpenter is calling out here. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some legal fucking bullshit that is going to be like, oh, well, actually, the union was approved before because of this, but you're over there. You're over with graphic design.
Honestly, nothing would surprise me. We know that Activision is capable of treading the depths of appalling behavior. Listen, you know me. I'm a union man. I'm very, very pro-union. And I would I've actually been very, very encouraged to see what seems to be like the first real green shoots of like unions starting to kind of break through in the video game industry. And I hope we get to a point in the near future where it's just the standard. If you work for really any, certainly a major developer or a publisher in video game development or production, then you should be in a union and you should have all the protections that a union provides. So much of what we hear about, you know, crunch and harassment and shitty fucking treatment of people, you know, that are on the front lines of game development. Not all, but a lot of that would be prevented if we had a robust union structure protecting employees.
We will, of course, keep our eye on this Raven situation. Now they're back to work, and what this actually turns out to do. Maybe nothing, maybe something, who knows? And then, it'll all be solved because Phil Spencer's going to come in here and he's going to fix everything. Isn't that right, Barrett?
Nope.
Fuck, all right. Number five on the Roper Report and final for the day, The Rock is making another video game movie, but he can't say what it is. We go to Hope Bellingham over at Games Radar. Thank you for this doom poster, Barrett. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has said that he's working on bringing, quote, one of the biggest, most badass games to the screen, end quote, in a new movie. In an interview with Men's Journal, Johnson was asked if he had any plans to bring video game characters to the big screen, to which he replied, quote, I can't tell you which game in particular we're doing, but there will be an announcement this year, before adding that, quote, we're going to bring one of the biggest, most badass games to the screen, one that I've played for years, end quote. Johnson explained how he plans to, quote, do right by our gamer friends, but that, quote, really, we're just going to make a great movie. In terms of what game the actor is talking about, there's a whole bunch of possibilities. However, if you're wondering what kind of games The Rock enjoys in his downtime, elsewhere in the interview, he confirmed that he's always been a big Madden fan. Gary, are you writing this video game movie for The Rock?
No, I have developed stuff for Dwayne back in the day. I actually worked briefly on a version of the Borderlands movie that he was attached to at the time. That was many years ago. Mm-hmm. He, his love of video games is legit, right? And he's put that into a lot of the projects that he's done. You know, we know he did Doom, he did, you know, Rampage. You know, he was involved in all that Fortnite stuff recently, and you know, he's looked at all kinds of other video games. The interesting thing about this is it could be literally anything, right? Because once he's attached to it, the size of he's saying it's one of the biggest games, so it probably is, but like he could attach himself to even like a tiny little indie game and it's going to get greenlit and made because The Rock is the compelling part of that equation. So it's going to be a big game, but it honestly could be anything. He's been attached to Spy Hunter over the years, many times. There's every chance it's Fortnite. You know, I mean, I've been waiting for the announcement on a Fortnite feature film or a TV show for a while now. There's just
lock
too much
of the world.
Every day they don't make that move, they're leaving money on the table.
And I think you can mark this, bookmark it, do whatever. You can throw it in my face, not that anyone will care or remember, and I'll of course have one eye when you see this. But it's the idea that like Fortnite continues to be the biggest thing. You know, Donald Mustard, who's the face of Fortnite in and out there doing all stuff, I mean, he knows the Russos, he's in Endgame. It's that Fortnite has already broken through into pop culture movies, and it's the biggest thing going. Where else could it go? It could go to the movie theater. And I think as Fortnite has already been a comic book, I'm sure they're working on an animated series at some point. Like there's so much, I'm sure, in development for Fortnite that it makes sense, I think, that this movie is Fortnite. And of course it makes sense.
It's inevitable. And,
The Rock is in Fortnite. Like it would make perfect sense to embed this.
If I had to put my money on something, it would be that
Mother 3. I don't think so. I don't think it's gonna be Mother 3, but I hope so.
Terry Crews knows about Mother 3. I feel like, you know, The Rock probably knows about Mother 3. You know,
we'll see. I can't wait to see what this movie with The Rock is, ladies and gentlemen. Even though I'm telling you it's Fortnite, don't worry about it. But that movie is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what game to the mom and pop shops, where would I go, Gary?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, The Artful Escape on PS5 and Switch.
Yay!
Mortal Online 2 on PC. Cannibal Cuisine on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X/S/1. Reverie Knights Tactics on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Serious Sam Siberian Mayhem on PC. Super Animal Royale is dropping an egg-citing new weapon alongside its Lunar New Year update, releasing today at noon. Paper Dolls 2 has released on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. New dates for you. Not Tonight 2 launches on February 11th on Steam, later this year on console. Workshop Simulator is launching on PC and consoles on March 10th. Little Orpheus for PC and consoles is coming March 1st. Kamikaze Veggies is coming to Steam February 15th. Fit Fox is launching on Steam March 31st. And then Apex Legends Defiance arrives on February 8th. If that wasn't enough news for you, we got your NVIDIA GeForce update. As you know, we've partnered with NVIDIA to keep you updated on all the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games, from ray tracing to NVIDIA DLSS to NVIDIA Reflex. Today, Grit is a Wild West battle royale that's entering early access with NVIDIA DLSS and Reflex. If you ride into action on a GeForce RTX GPU, activate NVIDIA DLSS in the options menu to boost performance by up to 60% at 4K. Grit adds the system latency reducing NVIDIA Reflex tech as an option in your menu as well. Activate Reflex so your quick draw is lightning fast. Gary, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Hero 5700 keeps us honest and says, while Raven QA have declared themselves a union, they are not officially recognized. The next step towards unionization would be to hold elections and have the results certified by the NLRB. Breaking them up like this might complicate these plans. Yes, I'm sorry if we didn't clarify that enough. That's what we were talking about and what Nicole was talking about in her tweet of, you know, the fact that they need to have the same definition, by lack of a better term, and that this would complicate that and do it. So that's the concern. Sorry if I didn't drive that home enough in the point. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily, believe it or not. Tomorrow, your host is going to be Andy and Blessing. Thursday, it's going to be me and Tim. And then Friday, it will be Blessing and Tam. If that wasn't enough Kind of Funny goodness for you, guess what? On twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right after this, Andy and Nick are playing Army of Two. They are playing Army of Two, the hot new game, Army of Two.
I don't know if that's correct.
When did that change? That's not what Snowbike Mike told me this morning when he said he was still sick. He gave me a little, he went, cough, cough, I don't feel good.
Well, Andy's sending me his feed right now, and it doesn't look like that.
Oh, you're right. No, I'm sorry. They're finishing It Takes Two.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Yeah,
why would they be playing fucking Army of Two?
I don't know. Because Mike played it over the weekend. Because
they're
weirdos,
yeah. Gary. I don't know. We have no control over them, and it sucks, and I hate it, and they're weird, and my eye hurts. If that's not enough, Gary and I are going to do a post show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get that later. Of course, if you're listening to this way later and you want to see It Takes Two get finished up by Nick and Andy, you can catch that on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for all the exclusive goodies. You don't like that, no big deal. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Like, subscribe, share. Podcast services around the globe. Please subscribe, like, share. Do the whole thing. If you got the Spotify app, you can go in there now. You can rate the things that way and yada, yada, yada. You know the whole rigmarole. Until next time, I've been Greg. That's been Gary. And you've been KFAF'd. And now it's post show time. How you doing, Gary?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Can't complain. You know what I mean? Talking games with my good friend Gary Wood. Having a great time.
It doesn't get much better than that. I played a little bit of Rainbow Six Extraction over the weekend. I enjoyed
that. Oh, yeah, you played with Carr, right?
I played with Khalif and Chastity.
What do you think?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I like that it's a different kind of vibe for that type of game. Usually those games are about just like, you know, finding your way through hordes of enemies. This is much more kind of slow paced, tactical, methodical. You got to think about your next move. It almost feels like a little bit like XCOM, but like real time.
Sure.
And it also takes me back, honestly, to like the very, very, I don't know if you are old enough to even fucking remember this, but the original Rainbow Six game that came out like in the mid 90s, that it was like it was all hostage rescue stuff and you had to plan out your mission ahead of time, and it was very tactical, it was very you know, methodical. You had to plan and think about what you were going to do. It wasn't just like, you know, running through the building killing people. It kind of feels like a return to like the original old school roots of Rainbow Six, but you know, with this kind of cool sci-fi layer. I like the aesthetic, all the kind of yellow and black kind of, you know, color scheme that it has. It's just cool. I like it.
Yeah, I played a lot of it last week on stream and then just with the guys in general. I had a great time with it. I was surprised. I didn't have expectations for that, but
yeah.
I guess bringing over the mechanics and stuff from Siege, a game that I know people adore and I just never played, obviously that should be impressive to a noob like me to get in there. Do you think it has legs? Do you think, or is it kind of like Aliens was for you, where you're going to play for a little bit and then just bounce?
Who can say? Nothing really has legs for me these days. I'm always like, you know, I don't have enough free time to like really commit to anything, like to build up enough of a kind of like momentum, like, oh, this is the game I'm playing now. I just want to play something and move on to the next thing. Plus, you know, it's always tricky. You know, you can't just play whenever you want. You got to route. Extraction is really a game that you don't want to play by yourself and you don't want to play with pickups. Like, if you're going to play it and enjoy it, you've got to play with like full voice comms with people that you're familiar with. Otherwise, you've got no chance. So, like, even just getting that one game that I played with Car and Chastity over the weekend, that took like a while to set up to get everyone just available to play at the same time. So it's tricky.
That's the thing about multiplayer gaming, especially as we get older, right, and get more and more responsibilities. It gets to be such a difficult.
Yeah, like
you texted me, you're like, you want to join us for Extraction? I was like mid teardown of like 100 cardboard boxes, and I'm like, I got to do this and take care of the baby, and then after that, I got to play it for review.
I got to plan my games around like the baby's nap schedule, you know.
Sure,
and then if I'm needed, I have to be able to like drop. It's tough for me. Like any game where I can hit pause, it's fine. But if I'm playing with other people, I'm always slightly nervous because anything can. I have to drop out at the drop of a hat. You know,
that was the heartbreaker. And I'm not even making a bit here about when Avengers dropped Spider-Man in the raid. Where I was like, okay, cool, but like I couldn't roll with Sean Norton and Goldfarb and Tam and all them, right? Because I was like, you guys don't understand, I could play for 3 hours in a row, or I'm playing in 2 minute chunks. There was like one section of Far Cry where it was like I was literally, all right, sit back down, hit it. Oh, they need something. Get up, go do it, come back 10 minutes later, 15 minutes, 30 minutes later, play two more minutes, have to go away, do something. It's like, it's such a hodgepodge, hit or miss thing. What about, and I understand it's hard for you to get it, and this is like so tied to your job. What about for Leah? Like, you know, your wife, obviously your baby mama. Like, is she able to get any video game time? Because like she plays games. Like she plays games.
I think the only game that she spent any real time playing since the baby was born was Unpacking, which she found very calming. And she's very excited about Horizon Forbidden West. Yeah. I think the plan is that is like once the baby goes down around about like 7:30, 8-ish.
Yeah.
And then once she's asleep, the rest of the evening is our own. And you know, she can, I think she's fully planning to dedicate her free time in the evenings to Forbidden West as soon as that drops.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah. Good times ahead.
It is a good
time. I got Dying Light 2. I need to look at that. I got a bunch of stuff I need to check out.
Dying Light 2, man. Yeah. Excited for you to play some of that. Excited to be able to talk about that. We can confirm we're reviewing it, of course, that we're working on it. And the review's next week. Next Wednesday will be your games cast on that one. Very exciting.
Yeah, like I said, Lost Legacy. There's a ton of stuff on the
Oh, I was going to say, Barry, you can confirm you've been playing that, but it's actually Roger now running the post show. Hey, Roger.
Hey, how you doing? I've been playing
good. We can't talk about it though. You can just confirm. Tomorrow there'll be stuff about it. There'll be stuff about it tomorrow. Raj, what are you excited for? What's your next big game?
I don't know, man. I'm in that space right now where I'm just playing a lot of old games. I'm playing Metal Wolf Chaos XD, which is that From Software game where you play as the president. It's very good. It's very good. But I've just been like, I'm playing Windjammers 2 a lot. That game.
Oh, nice.
That game is something. That game is something. It's hard as hell.
Windjammers, baby.
I've never played the first one. Never even seen the first one. But this game is something. I'm really obsessed with it.
So, I'm excited. I love a little bit of Windjammers.
Yeah, I think you'll love it. It's just I'm trying to convince all my friends to pick it up and get on Game Pass and play it. But that's been really taking up a lot of my time. It's not a great game to play at nighttime before you go to bed because I get very angry, very upset about it. But it's good. It's a good time. It's a good time. Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I have too many games to play for work, but then not work, even though it's kind of work. I want to play that Pokemon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Dying Light 2 review, then obviously Horizon review. Pokemon, I'm not worried about reviewing, but I want to play the Pokemon.
So what was the latest? So the word on Pokemon, the new Pokemon, is it might
yesterday
be good?
Seems good. Yeah, the Japanese journalists liked what they played, and then Laura Kate Dale was out with a copy that broke Street Date in UK, and she says it's great.
Yeah, my kid's going to be excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Those are games we're excited for. Game. All right. I got to go to the eye doctor, see if they can fix this.
Oh, see you next time.
Talk to you later. Bye.